Praise God. He's a God that cannot fail. Praise God. We fail, but He don't.
Thank God. Thank God. John chapter number 6 tonight. I want to thank you for the way that you've been taking care of us this week. We appreciate it so much.
People give us gift cards to eat out on and took us to eat, things like that. We've enjoyed it. Appreciate it very much. And appreciate your friendliness and your hospitality. We just thank you for it. And I just want to say I appreciate so much your pastor and his wife. They held a revival back at our home church in Hodgenville. And I'm telling you, folks, they blessed our people. They blessed us. They helped us and encouraged us. And I just want to say thank you so much, Brother Ryan, Sister Beth, for what you did and for coming. It was certainly a blessing. And you folks are blessed right around here. I know you know that, to have these folks leading you in the charge of doing a work for God. Thank God. We're going to begin reading at verse number 66. I'd really love to read the whole chapter, but that would take a while because it has 71 verses in it. But we'll just start reading at verse 66. I may go back and rehearse some things, but this is what the Lord has laid on my heart for tonight. I do covet your prayers when I attempt to preach at the Lord to give us breath and strength, be able to overcome the weakness we have in our body at this time. Thank God. John 6 and 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back. You know, that bothers me. Does that bother you? From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure. I like that. We believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. I know you've prayed already, but I'm asking you for a little bit more support and pray again tonight that the Lord will touch us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for your touch tonight. God, in this service, Lord. Lord, that you'd help us, Lord. We pray from the deepest depths of our heart tonight. God, that you'd bless us and use us for your glory. God, help us to be a blessing to your people. God, if there's a sinner or a backslider here, that you would deal with them. Lord, if there's somebody here discouraged or despondent, that you'd lift them up. Somebody that has a special need, that you'd meet that need. Lord Jesus, we want to lift you up, Lord. We want to lift you up. Lord, your name be exalted. Lord, help us and give us strength tonight. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Let church say amen. Lord, being my helper tonight, I'd like to take my thought from the words of Peter that he said in reply to Christ when Christ said, will you also go away? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Lord, to whom shall we go? And I'd just like to preach for a little bit, the Lord being my helper, on nowhere else to go. Nowhere else to go. As I've already mentioned, the contents of the first verse of our reading is a disturbing one. And it is to me, especially in the sense of it's always disturbing for me to think about those who started following Jesus and somehow came to a point that they followed him no more. And notice the reading there. It said, from that time, many of his disciples went back. I don't like that phrase, went back. And walked with no more with him. Not only did they go back, they never came back. Quite a thought, isn't it? To me, that makes this verse one of the saddest verses in the Bible. To think about people leaving the Lord and not coming back. Amen. I think it's sad to think, amen, that they believed on him for a while and followed him so far, and then they believed on his miracles and what he'd done, and they believed that, amen, that he was the Messiah when he If you look back earlier in this chapter when he multiplied the loaves and the fishes, but when they came to him after he crossed the sea, when they came to him and he began to teach them spiritual truth concerning partaking of his body and how it would be broken for them, and partaking of his blood and how it would be shed for them, they couldn't receive that. So they went back to the world. You know, there's a lot of people that like to follow God for the benefits. Amen. But they don't want to be there for the sacrifice. Amen. For the denial of self. I must say, when I think about this, it always troubles me when I hear or see of anyone, amen, that at one time followed Jesus, choose to turn their back on him and go back into sin. Anybody. Doesn't matter to me who it is, whether it's a preacher, a minister, or it's laity. Man, somebody well-known or somebody hardly known, I don't like to hear of anybody that once served God going back on God. And neither do I like to hear of someone who once walked in the way of holiness turning their back on that either. Amen. Or choosing some liberalistic way over the right way of righteousness and getting so far out that they refer to righteous living as being legalism, and that living a life of wholeness under the Lord is unnecessary to salvation. But that's not true. It is necessary. Because the scripture said, without it, no man shall see the Lord. Amen. And it troubles me most when I think about these things because of the eternal danger people are in when they leave the Lord or when they turn back and go a different direction. Now, the scripture is clear on this, and I'll get somewhere with this. Just give me a little time. But the scripture is clear on this in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 38. That the Lord has no pleasure in them that draw back. It's actually worded this way. Now the just shall live by faith. We can say amen to that, can't we? The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We come to God, we're saved by grace through faith. That not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. We get started on the journey by faith, don't we? Praise be to God, by faith in the Lord. But when I read this and think about this, it says, now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. The Lord speaking through his man. And then in verse 29 of the same chapter, it says, of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and counted the blood of the covenant where he was sanctified an unholy thing and hath done despite to the Spirit of grace. Peter takes it a step farther talking about this. And he says in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them, he said, for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. It sounds like to me it's serious business when men turn back. Serious business, to say the least. And I know people that used to be in church doing good, serving the Lord. Amen. But I've had them come to me and talk to me and say, well, we feel like going a different direction. We feel like going somewhere else, doing something else, and turning their back on the Lord. And today their families are busted up. Their homes are in shambles. Their lives are wrecked, all because they left the Lord. Leaving the Lord is a terrible thing. Amen. It's a terrible thing. And there's a lot of things that can cause people to turn back. A lot of things. For instance, the love of money. The Bible said the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after, they've erred from the faith. In other words, they were in it. They were of it. They had it in them. But somehow or another, they got focused on the wrong thing, on money. Amen. It's not, money's not evil in itself, but the love of it is. Amen. The power of it is the love of money. It's the love of money that causes people to err. It was the love of money, in a sense, that caused Judas to err. He betrayed the Lord. You know the story. For 30 pieces of silver. What did it cost him? It cost him his soul. Amen. When he dropped his relationship with Jesus Christ for money, he lost the salvation of his soul and eventually lost his mind. Amen. And lost it all. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 10, we find that some men trade their soul salvation for the love of the world. I mean, they just love the world. They love the world itself. Amen. Paul talked about it this way. He said, "For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed." He's left me. He's left the Lord. And he's departed. He's gone his own way. And you know why? Because he had a love for this present world. He lost his love for heaven. That's what we were singing about a while ago. We were singing about going to heaven. Heaven's our home. We're planning on going there. It's first. It's number one. Above all else, we want to serve the Lord. We want to make it to heaven. But we don't want to turn back. We don't want to go the other direction. But there are those that err from the faith that have. Amen. Just like Judas and just like Demas. And there's others who've left the Lord for many other things. Some left preaching the gospel for politics. Amen. Some have left the Lord for position in the world. And amen. And prosperity and possessions. And others over worldly companionships and relationships. And then some for worldly entertainment and etc. Amen. I'm reminded of a man some years ago that come to the church that I pastored, a good man. Him and his family, when they come into church, they were having issues and troubles in their home. And anyway, they come in, they come to the altar, they prayed and gave their hearts to the Lord. And the Lord just started fixing things. I mean, their family started coming together. Their children came to church. They had teenage children. Their children came to church and they got saved. And the family was saved and serving the Lord. And they was doing great. I mean, God was blessing, and this went on for several years. But I remember a man on his job, he excelled. God was blessing him on his job, and he excelled and was doing really good. But then there came this offer from another city. They wanted to move him to another plant in another place and give him and let him be supervisor over the whole plant. I mean, he was already in great leadership in the place where he was. But they was giving him a big position, offering big money, amen, in a big place. And so he come to the church and he talked to the church. He stood and testified about it. I believe God's opening this door, but I want the church to help me pray about it. Well, my question was, amen, if you're going to this new place and you're going to start out anew, have you got a good church to go to? Have you checked that out? That needs to be one of the first things you checked out. Well, we've kind of checked into it. But we haven't found a place. So until you find a place, good place to go to church where you know the gospel's preached, you need to reconsider on this. Amen. But nonetheless, amen, he just kept on bringing it up to the church. And I remember one service the Holy Ghost spoke, and when the Spirit of God spoke tongues and interpretation went forth, and as it did, a warning went out. Well, I thought for sure, well, this brother's going to take this. He's going to realize God's speaking. Amen. But when he heard the word, he took it totally to the opposite. He stood up and talked, well, I've got my confirmation tonight of what God wants me to do. And it was just like everybody's spirit in the church just dropped. It's just like, what are you saying? What do you mean? Couldn't you tell what God was saying? But he had his heart set. He had his mind set. Had his mind already made up. You got to be careful, amen, about what you do. You got to put the Lord first. Say, so, well, God opens the door, amen. It's always, if the door is open, it's always God. Not always. Not always. Not every time you excel in the world is it God's will. Or you have opportunity to. God help me preach tonight. Amen. But his last name was Hines. His first name was Ed. But he stood and testified to that, and he went right on. He moved his family. They got up there, and it was in Indianapolis, and they couldn't find, amen, a good, solid place to go to church. It was in that area somewhere up there, but at that time, he couldn't find a place to go to church. And we kept in contact for a while, and he said, where are you going to church? Not going to church anywhere. They weren't going to church anywhere. I said, you're going to fall. Things are going to fall apart, Ed. If you got to get in the house of God. You got to go somewhere. You got to have food. Well, we're praying at home. Amen. I'll tell you, praying at home's good, but amen, you still need to go to the house of God. Amen. We're listening to the preachers on the radio. Well, that's good. Amen. But it don't take the place of being in the house of God and hearing a man of God preach a word from the pulpit. But nonetheless, I mean, if that's all you can do, that's one thing. But if you can do something else, you need to do it. But my point is, amen, they should have considered that before they ever went. You know, that family wound up in trouble. He had a job. He was making big money, more money than he had ever made in his life. But money didn't meet the need of his heart. And money didn't meet the need of his family. Not altogether. Every family's got to have money, and we all got to make it. Amen. Some way, somehow. But number one, we got to have God. We got to be in the will of God. Amen. His whole family got out of church. He all backslid. Last I knew, they was all still backslid and away from God. Terrible. Did it have to be that way? No. Amen. If they had just stayed in the will of God, they'd been better off to stay where they were at, making a little bit less money and having peace and joy in their home than going somewhere else. Amen. Where they didn't have that. I was thinking about a young mother in a church. She had a teenage daughter and a beautiful young lady, and she was doing good in church and anyway, serving the Lord, just doing great. But her mama got it in her head, because she is so pretty, that she needed to get her involved in modeling, you know, not dressing in modest, but just modeling. So she got her into that, and my dad, I believe, was pastor at that time, tried to persuade her not to do that, not to get her involved in that. But she said, well, I want my daughter to excel. I want her to do good. Amen. You know, she's so pretty. I want that to be appreciated. Well, it could have been appreciated if it was done the right way. But modeling is no way for, amen, for anybody like that. And I know it's sometimes, a lot of times, a dream of a parent, amen, that never did make it themselves, to have a child to do it for them. You know, a lot of parents mess up on those kind of things. Amen. When maybe they didn't make the big ball player, but they pushed her. Well, help me here, Jesus. So she just kept on, and she got her involved in that. And she done well in modeling, but she didn't do so well with God. Matter of fact, both of them wound up leaving the church and going on their own way. And the last I know of, they was away from God. Terrible. Does it have to be that way? No. Amen. No, it doesn't. And there's example after example that I could go through of those that turn back, and my heart yet grieves today. Still bothers me today of those that once served God that no longer serve Him now, that I know. Preachers I know once served God that's not serving Him now. Turn back. Amen. I hope and pray by the grace of God that every one of them gets back in. Amen. Before it's too late. Amen. But some turn their back on God for one thing and some for another. But whatever thing it is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. But in going back to our text, I want you to notice, not only is mentioned here, amen, those that turn back, amen, but also those that did not. Remember when that multitude of disciples left Jesus and turned back, the scripture, we read it right there, it said many of them went back and didn't follow Him no more. He then turns to the 12 and He says, will you also go away? Let's get this settled right here and now. Will you also go away? Amen. And Peter speaks up for the whole group of them. Amen. He done that quite often, by the way. He was an outspoken kind of fellow, but he spoke for sure for himself. And as he stood up, he said, Lord, to whom shall we go? I like it. The first thing he said was Lord. Amen. He hadn't lost his love for the Lord. His mind was set. He hadn't changed, but notice what he said. Amen. To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. As I was reading through this chapter today, I thought of all the things that Peter could have said. Why did he say this? Amen. He had seen him do miracles of healing. He could have said, Lord, where else can we go to see such miracles? He had seen the Lord. Amen. He had seen the Lord multiply the fishes and the loaves and feed the 5,000 all in this chapter. And he could have said, Lord, where else can we go? Amen. To find such provision as is found in you. He could have said that. Amen. He could have even went on and said, if you read also in that chapter, the disciples was out in a ship. Amen. In the midst of the sea in the middle of the night. And a great storm came up. And that storm got so big that the waves got great and threatened to sink the ship. And the Bible said they were afraid. But Jesus comes walking to them on the water in the middle of the night. Amen. And he bids Peter to come to him on the water. It's a great story. You need to go read it. Amen. But oh, praise be to God. Peter walks on the water and Jesus walks with him back to the ship. There's much more I could tell you, but amen. The Bible teaches us that the storm was stilled and they went on back to the land, got across on the other side. But Peter could have said, Lord, where else can we go and find somebody that can still a storm? But instead of saying all of that, and I'm glad the Lord can do all of that. I'm glad he can heal us when we need healing. I'm glad he can provide for us when we need provision. And I'm glad he can still the storm in times of stilling the storm when we need that. Amen. But oh, what I like is, amen, that he has the words of eternal life. Praise God, he's the one that's promised us. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise be to God. Peter knew, amen, that was more important than anything else. And I'd like to preach that to you right here tonight. More important than anything else, than a good job, than a relationship, amen, than a position, or prestige, amen, or whatever else, or pleasure that you might find in this world. Nothing, I say nothing, is more important than your soul's salvation. Having things settled with God, having things right with God. You can't go anywhere else, amen, and feel what you can feel in your heart than when you go to the Lord and repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come in your life. I'm so glad to hear that brother stand and testify a while ago about coming to the altar Sunday morning and praying and God restoring warmth to his heart. Amen. Isn't that a good start? Isn't that a good start? Hallelujah. But I'll tell you, brother, God's got a whole lot more for you. Got a whole lot more for you and your family. Amen. Praise God. You can't go anywhere else and find this. I'm not saying there's not another church in the city. Don't get me wrong. I'm saying you can't go to anywhere but Jesus, anyone but Jesus, to find what you need to satisfy the longing in your soul. You can't find it in a beer bottle. You can't find it in a needle. Amen. You can't find it in immorality. Amen. Going to the movie house of sin. You can't find it in the porn places. You can't find it in this world. It ain't there, but when you bow on an altar of prayer, hallelujah, and you call upon the Lord, amen, the Lord can come down, wash your sins away in a moment of time, give you joy unspeakable, give you peace that passes understanding, write your name down in the book of life. Woo! Hallelujah. I'm glad for the salvation of the Lord. I mean, where else can you go? Nowhere else to go. Say, now, wait a minute, preacher. There's all kinds of religion in the world. That's true. There is, but there's only one salvation. Amen. There's a lot of religion. And all of them professing their right way. But there's only one that has a Savior that died for the sins of the world and rose from the dead and is at the right hand of the Father making intercession for them, amen, that believe on him. Somebody lift your hand and praise the Lord tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. In him alone is there deliverance for the soul. I don't know, you may have come in here tonight needing victory over sin. Jesus is the one that can give you victory. Amen. Maybe you've been to the altar and you've prayed and you felt you've got a touch. Well, I'll tell you, don't let that first time be your last time. Best thing to do is get in there and seek God again and get all you can get from God. Nowhere else to go. I'll tell you, a couple experiences going to come to a close. Ask your brother to come help us with the altar service tonight. Amen. Some time ago, I was preaching a revival in a place called Owensburg, Indiana, a little country church. Amen. But there was a need of a person there one night. I may have shared this last time. I don't remember, but it come back to me. Amen. A lady come in by the name of Teresa. She come into the service. She had had she was battling with bulimia, anorexia. She looked like a rock of bone. She was in a terrible condition. She needed a miracle. She needed God. Amen. I didn't know this till later, but she had been seeing physicians, and they were going the very next day, Brother Ryan, they was going to put her in a state mental hospital to try to save her life, because if she kept going like she's going, she wasn't going to live. She was going to die. Amen. But that night, the Lord gave us a message and simply preached on the God of victory. The God of victory. I'm glad I know Him, aren't you? Ooh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad you know the God of victory? Hallelujah. But nonetheless, after I got done preaching, amen, that woman came forward. The pastor got down there and began to pray, and others gathered around her and began to pray. Amen. We prayed for her till the glory come down. When the glory come down, her hands went up. Amen. She was instantly delivered by the power of God. I mean, instantly, just like that. She was delivered. She went back and seen the doctor and told him how she was eating, how things was going good that next day. Amen. Well, let's watch the situation. But the situation didn't change. It was all better. It was all good. She is all delivered and all set free. I seen her just a few months ago in a restaurant in Bedford, Indiana. Amen. She's still serving the Lord. I say praise be to God. Amen. There's a God that can answer prayer. Amen. When there's no, she had nowhere else to go. Amen. But physicians. It kind of reminded me of the woman that had the issue of blood in the Bible. Amen. She'd spent all of her living on physicians, but the Bible said she rather grew worse. Amen. But she heard about Jesus one day, and she heard about what He could do. I'm here to tell you about what He can do tonight. Amen. He can do exceedingly abundantly above that which you can think or ask. I'm telling you, He's a wonderful Savior. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that woman, when she heard about Jesus, she said in her heart, her mind, if I can just touch the hem of His garment, I know I'll be made whole. If I can just touch Him. So she comes to where He's at. There's a crowd all around Jesus, but she presses her way through the crowd. It's an old story, but oh, it's wonderful. She had been sick with this for 12 years. Amen. She was on her way out of this world. She'd spent all of her living. She had nowhere else to go. Money couldn't do it. Physicians couldn't do it. Medicine couldn't do it. Amen. But there was somebody that could do it. And His name was Jesus. She reached out and touched Him. And when she did, faith caused the virtue, the healing virtue of Christ to be released. And went through her body, and instantly she was healed by the power of God. The Bible said she felt it in her body. Praise God. I'm glad for something you can feel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. She was instantly delivered. I don't know tonight in this service, amen, what the need is, but I know the need meter. Amen. I don't know what kind of issue you got, but I know one that can help you with your issue. I don't know what kind of problem you got, but I know the one that's got the solution. Amen. Praise God. Matter of fact, not only does He have the solution, He is the solution. Amen. He said of Himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. No man come unto the Father except through and by me. He's the way you can get hooked up with God. Somebody said, I'd sure like to know God. Well, get to know Jesus, and you can know God the Son. He'll lead you to God the Father. Open the door for you. Get full of God the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. He's a mighty God. He's a saving God. When you got nowhere else to go. I'll tell you this and I'll close. One night I was headed to church, I believe it was a Wednesday night, getting ready to start service, going to open the doors, get service started. But on the way to church, and I'm not an advocate of doing this, you better be sure it's God. But on the way to church, God's Spirit dealt with me to go visit a backslider. And I wrestled with that. I mean, I'm the pastor. The pastor's got to be at church. I was getting ready to start service that night, but he prompted me the second time. And when he did, I said, all right, I'll go. And I called my father and I said, you start the service tonight. And I'll be there when I get there. I feel like I've got to do this. I can't get released from it. So I'm going. You just take the service and go with it. So he did. But as I got to that man's house and pulled into the driveway, his car was there. I went to the door and I knocked on the door. When I knocked on the door, nobody answered. I knocked again and nobody answered. And I knocked real hard. When I did, the door came partially open. When it did, I hollered through the opening in the door. I said, Robert! Robert! And the second time I called his name, he answered from the back of the house. He said, I'm in the shower. I'll be out in a minute. I said, this is Brother Webb. He said, I'll be out in a minute. So he finished his shower and he got dressed and he came out. We talked just a little small talk. And then I said, Robert, I'm here on business tonight. I should be at church right now, but God sent me here. I'm here to talk to you about your soul. I talked to Robert just a little bit. And it wasn't long till the tears was flowing. It wasn't me. It was the Holy Ghost. It was the Holy Ghost. The tears started flowing. We got down by his couch and Robert prayed back through. God saved his soul. Amen. But as I got ready to leave, he said, wait a minute, preacher, I want to show you something. I said, okay, Robert. He said, come in the kitchen with me. And we walked in the kitchen. When we walked in the kitchen, there was a big blue tarpaulin laying on the floor, a big tarp. Leaning up against the table was a high-powered rifle. He said, I was taking my last shower, preacher. I was at the end of my rope. Had nowhere else to go. Then God turned me from going to church on a Wednesday night to go to talk to him. I made it to church that night, but also made it to that man's house and talked to him about the Lord. I'll tell you, when you don't have nowhere else to go, that man didn't have anywhere else to go. The devil had him persuaded life ain't worth living. I'll tell you, friend, if you come in here tonight and you got a suicidal spirit, there's a God in heaven that loves you and he don't want you going down. He don't want you to be lost. If there's a backslider in here tonight that's wandered away and you want to come back home to God, I'll tell you, he's ready to receive you. Praise be to God. There's somebody here in the midst of a storm. He wants to meet you in a storm. Praise God. There's somebody in need of provision or an answer. I don't know. I just come to just to deliver the mail tonight and to tell you that there is some place to go, and that some place is Jesus. When you feel like there's nowhere else to go, you can run to the Lord. Peter said, to whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life. Let's stand tonight all over the house. Praise be to God. I don't know the needs in the heart tonight, but I know God does. And I know he laid this on my heart for this service. Praise be to God. Let's pray, church. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, dear God, that you'd touch every heart in the place. Lord, that you know every need in this house tonight. And it could be somebody here. Lord, it feels like they're at the end of the rope, just like Teresa. Somebody here that feels like they're into the rope, just like Robert. Maybe they're in a situation they don't know what to do with. They feel like they ain't got anywhere else to go. But, oh, Lord, I know you're the one that we can go to in the time of need tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I pray, Lord, right now that somebody in this place make their way down to the altar with their need and their problem, their situation. Oh, and their desire. Oh, come on tonight. If there's somebody in this place you feel Jesus has dealt with you and give you a word of hope. Maybe you've been to the altar before, but you feel like you need to come again. Amen. Would you come in and seek the Lord while he may be found? Call upon him while he's there. Come on, church. I need a praying church right now. Praise be to God. You feel like you need to come. You feel like you need to pray. Praise God. God had a purpose in this. God had a purpose in this. Amen. Any of you young folks feel like praying? Any of you daddies or mommies feel like praying? Any of you couples feel like praying tonight? You want to step out and bring your home to God. Amen. You want to give your home to the Lord. Amen. Maybe you feel like, I've got trouble. I've got trouble. I need help. Amen. Then come and bring that need to God. Thank you for those for tonight. I believe there's more. I believe there's some great needs in this service. Amen. Nowhere else to go. Thank God you got someplace to go. You got someone to come to tonight. That someone is Jesus. Praise be to God. All right, open up the altar for anybody that wants to come tonight. I ask you to come in. Let's seek the Lord for a while. Praise God. That song was it, brother. That's it. Where could I go?
And I need.
When you need a friend tonight, you need somebody to help you, come on in tonight. Nowhere else to go. Praise be to God.
Where could I go?
But oh, just come bring your need to the Lord. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there tonight.
Oh, where could I go?
Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Oh, where?
Oh, in the name of Jesus.
Seeking a refuge for my soul.
Anybody else want to come in tonight?
I need
come make your way to God's
friend.
Altar. Just find you a place to pray. Find you a place to pray.
Where could I go? To
come on, sir. Come on, man. Come on, sir. Come on, man. Wait, say. Let's give it all to Jesus tonight. Let's give every burden, every care, every worry. Nowhere else to go. You got a place to go tonight. That place is Jesus. You don't need another pill. You don't need another drink. It could be somebody listening on the internet tonight. Oh, God, you need Jesus, friend. Come on to Jesus. Come on to Jesus.
Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, tell me where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. I need me a friend who will help me to the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? My neighbors are kind, and I love them, everyone. We get along in sweet accord. Oh, but when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the Lord? Could I go? Where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. I need a friend who'll save me to the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Where could I go? I need a refuge for my soul, and I'm needing a friend to help me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Life here is grand, friends I love so dear. Comfort I get from God's own word. Oh, but just when I face the chilly hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Save me in the end.